Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. It's your future. Let Zurich help you protect it. Talk to us today about life and serious illness cover.
Carmila Magathfishin, we're in the presence of greatness now because Colin Judge will represent Ireland for the second time at the Paralympics in table tennis, having qualified recently. The Dublin native has been in excellent form since those games and will be hoping to build on his recent performances for Paris. We're joined now by Colin Judge, Paralympian and champion table tennis player. You're very welcome indeed. And I also meant greatness when I was thinking of Stephen McNamara, who's the chief executive of Paralympics Ireland.
Nice save.
Who's with me as well.
You're both
very welcome.
Thank you so much.
Congrats to you, first of all, Colin, for qualification. You're looking forward to it.
Oh, I'm super excited. Thank you very much. It's just fantastic to have it official. I've kind of hoped for a while that I'd qualify, but to have it official now is absolutely fantastic.
You can never be sure until it's done.
No, you're not qualified until you're selected, so I'm just over the moon and really excited now. Only 81, is that right?
82
days to go. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, counting them down.
It's becoming real.
Yeah, and we're in the middle of leaving cert for all those people who've been prepping like mad, but you're in the middle of your own Paralympics prep now.
Yeah, it's really, really busy at the moment. I'm actually going away to Slovakia next week for 2 weeks training camp. And then I'll have my last event before Paris 2024 in Czech Republic. Open.
Is it nerve-wracking at this point?
I've been in Tokyo and I'm really, really grateful for that experience. Obviously, there's pressure involved and I'm sure there'll be nerves. I'm not so used to playing in front of a crowd. So Paris, obviously, there'll hopefully be a big one. But yeah, look, I'm really, really excited and I think I thrive under the pressure and I love the big big moments. So I'm just really, really excited.
You seem pretty cool to me now, I must say. Like a cool character.
I hope I'm as cool when we're at the Paris South Arena on the 1st of September.
Well, I hope so as well. Yeah, it's all in the day. But I was reading that you're a Category 3 athlete when it comes to the Paralympics, right? Criteria. What does that mean?
Yeah, so classification is based on the severity of your disability. The wheelchair table tennis classes go from 1 to 5, 1 being the most severely handicapped and 5 being the least severely handicapped. And I'm right in the middle in class 3.
Okay, and can you describe to people why you're in that category?
Yeah,
for people who don't know you as an athlete.
Steve earlier, it's the classification and like disability is a really difficult thing to quantify. And I have a unique disability in table tennis anyway. I'd be the only one in my class who competes like with one arm and no legs. A lot of the guys in my class would be paraplegic. So they might have 2 arms, but they would have problems from the waist up. Mm-hmm. Whereas I have full trunk, but obviously only have the 1 arm. So that's what I mean. There's a lot of different disabilities and it can be difficult to quantify. But I suppose classification, the main goal of it is to level the playing field and make things as fair as possible.
Okay. I actually want to ask you about your aspirations for these Paralympics in just a second, right? But I'll let you stew in that for just a second. let the pressure
I don't
go.
Have to think about that.
See if he's really as cool as he looks.
Yeah, pressure's for tires.
Can I ask you, the chief executive of Paralympics Ireland, Stephen McNamara, how many athletes we've qualified at this point?
Yeah, so at the moment we've only announced 7, which is across the swimming team and of course Colin, but I think we're going to track somewhere around 30, which will be I think a huge achievement for a lot of those athletes. Some of them are still trying to qualify. We have slots secured in some areas, so we know we will have a rowing team there, we know we'll have cyclists there, but in both Olympic and Paralympic sport you don't confirm the person that goes until it's agreed by the board and put forward by the governing body. So
really?
In this case, yeah.
It seems kind of unfairly bureaucratic.
I totally agree. Yeah, so I'm only a year in. That was one of the first things that I couldn't understand it. I was like, particularly, you know, from the point of view of even promoting and getting the athletes out there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's because actually you qualify slots and then after that you qualify, are you a selected team? And then you bring that team. And that allows for if an athlete maybe falls off in form or if somebody gets injured. There are individuals like, I suppose, Colin, who qualifies his own slot, and you know pretty much it's going to be Colin. But then we ratified it with the board a couple of weeks ago, or a week ago, and we had the announcement on Monday. Okay. So it's fantastic.
So let's see if we can put you under pressure now, because it strikes me that if an athlete is confirmed, that you can festoon them with supports, financial and emotional and psychological and every other way.
Yeah, so actually, we're really lucky in Ireland with the support we get from Sport Ireland. I think, you know, Colin will speak to that as well. The multi-annual funding is huge. Probably in the next cycle, I think we can look at that again. But it brings that security to the athlete who's on that qualification pathway as to whether or not they'll make it or not. Some of the athletes who are on that funding might not make it. Mm-hmm. Some will. And it's because of that funding that they get the opportunities. It's expensive, in particularly in para sport, because a lot of the tournaments are abroad. There's a lot of travel. And with that, obviously, comes a financial commitment. It's also a little bit more difficult for some para athletes because, you know, most people can jump in a car. For some athletes, they can't drive. If you've got a visual impairment, for example, you can't drive. So the system is really set up quite well here in Ireland. And as I said, Sport Ireland and the Sports Ireland Institute really assist the athletes to get to that level of greatness that will hopefully bring back the medals.
Yeah, and you said something very interesting in terms of being a role model or having people see the athletes and so on. Is that something that's important to you, or do you have the time, Colin, at this point of your prep, let's say for Paris, to be a role model? Because I'm assuming that you know an awful lot of people will look up to you, maybe children who have a disability, and say, look, I'd love to be in that position.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good question. And, you know, I didn't really have a role model that I could really relate to growing up. And, you know, when I was a table tennis player, 11, 12, 13, and I would have loved to have one. But yeah, I just hope that, you know, hopefully if I make a big performance in Paris and I win a medal, that's definitely my goal, to answer your earlier question.
Eager to answer that question.
Yeah. But hopefully, you know, through my performance and through my achievements and even hopefully what I've achieved so far, you know, to mix it with the best and to have been at one Paralympics in Tokyo already, I just hope that, I think table tennis is a fantastic sport and it's really, really inclusive. Young, old, disabled, able-bodied.
It's bloody hard though, isn't it?
It's not easy.
As a lay person playing table tennis, holy cow.
Yeah.
I mean, the spin on the ball, I mean, it's...
It's such a complicated game, but that's, you know, why I love it, you know, and I think table tennis, the reason, one of the main reasons why I was attracted to it at the beginning was because it's such a complicated sport and there's so much to it. And, you know, I really felt that I could use, you know, for all that I don't have the arm and the legs, I felt that I could really use my mind well. Table tennis is a sport where you have to think. Strategy and tactics are hugely important. And I've kind of developed my own unique style through that. And, you know, I really feel like I can use what I have to my advantage. And
yeah.
That's why I think
I love meeting elite athletes like you, because it comes down to the mental preparation as much as anything else, doesn't it? As much as a skill.
It's hugely important. Like, you know, I think if you look at the top 20 in the world, like, we all train really, really hard. And if you were to watch us, you'd probably say that there's not much between us. But I think it's what you do when it counts, and how you handle the nerves and the pressure, I think, is what separates the best from the rest. And
the wheat from the chaff, as they say.
Exactly.
Why table tennis? Can you remember when you started?
Yeah, I can remember it well. Yeah, like yesterday, I suppose I went to an able-bodied school, St. Michael's College, a big rugby school. And a lot of my friends, like around the age of 11 or 12, started playing rugby. And, you know, I felt a little bit left out. Obviously, rugby wasn't an option for me. And the first sport that I tried out was wheelchair rugby. Right. And that was a lot of fun. And, you know, wheelchair rugby kind of made me realize that I needed sport in my life.
Really? Yeah.
But I wasn't very good at wheelchair rugby. And I was a very competitive person back then and still today. And I felt like that I was more of a hindrance than a help to my team a lot of the time. So decided to try out a few other sports, and table tennis was the only sport that I could beat my brother at. So I decided
always a good barometer, isn't it?
Yeah, to pursue table tennis for that reason. But I suppose I quickly learned that table tennis was a very hard sport, and just because I could beat my brother didn't really mean that I was going
to... So, okay, from beating your brother, right, so to now, how many hours of preparation do you do a day or a week?
Yeah, so I probably am on the table about 20 hours a week.
Are you?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So probably 10, 12 of those hours might be with my coach. I train in an able-bodied club, UCD. That's actually where I started, around the age of 11 or 12. And then I have a couple of other sparring partners on the pathway system that I practice with as well. So
now, can I ask you this, right? You obviously have a talent when it comes to table tennis, but what you said about your mental fortitude, let's say, is important as well, isn't it? Because I'm conscious of the fact that we could have younger people who may have a disability, might be a different disability to the one you have, listening. How important is it, in your opinion, to focus on what you can do?
Yeah, it's absolutely crucial. And, you know, I always say, you know, I do a lot of talks for schools, for example. And, you know, I always say that I'm so glad, you know, of my parents' support from an early age, and that, you know, they always said that to never be afraid to fail. And I think it's a massive, you know, I think from an early age, I had that ingrained in me that, you know, I was going to have to try things, and I was going to have to fail at them, and I was going to have to try again. And, you know, it made such a difference then later in life when the obstacles were far greater. Mm-hmm. I was well able to try and overcome them. And so what I would say to, you know, young people who, you know, maybe aren't involved in sport is to not be afraid to put yourself out there. You know, I remember, you know, back when I was 11 years old, and I sent an email to the coach of UCD, and that was kind of a big deal for me at the
really?
Time. Like, it's, you know, for an 11-year-old, like, to send an email to an able-bodied coach, you know, he could have just told me no.
Yeah.
But, you know, people are a lot nicer than you think a lot of the time. And, you know, sometimes you have to take the first step. And I think, you know, ever since that moment, he, you know, he took me under his wing, and, you know, the rest is history. I've kind of excelled from there. And that's what I would say to, you know, someone who isn't involved, or someone who's unsure whether they can do this or whether they can do that, is to not be afraid to fail, and also to not let others dictate your future. Because if I'd done that, you know, I never would have been able to do very much at all.
Imagine if you'd never sent that email.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I wouldn't be playing table now.
So. Yeah, it's incredible, really. And there are so many stories, Stephen, aren't there?
Yeah, look, that's exactly it. I think, I mean, I'm sitting here listening to Colin, and this is really what it's all about for us. You know, like, just before the games, we, in conjunction with our sponsor, PTSB, we've run a next-gen campaign, which is all about exactly that. If you like sport, come and try and, you know, the variety of sports that we have there. And for us, that's what we're going to do after the games as well. The games for us is a huge opportunity to get out there and to be visible, and for people to recognise, you know, I can do that. I can do that too. And it might just be that catalyst.
Are there clear pathways for kids or for future athletes?
Honestly, we got to get better at that. And I think from a Paralympics point of view, you know, we've always seen as our remit as being just getting the athletes that present, we bring and we manage them through the games process. I think now we understand that it's hard for the NGBs. It's hard. So Colin got an email to a person who went, I'm going to try that, you know, but we know a lot of people might say for other reasons, you know, I'm too busy, I'm working in different areas of the sport, I don't have the time for it. What we want to do is get more people to say, I'm going to take a punt on that, I'm going to try that. And we want more athletes to know, or future athletes to know, that when they send that email, they probably get a yes,
yeah.
You know, and that's huge. That's really, really huge.
Well, that's huge if that's the message that goes out from here this evening. You know,
yep.
Your story, Colin, and that promise from you, Stephen, as well. Before I let you go, medal prospects in general?
Yeah, so we're probably tracking somewhere around the 10 mark, maybe 8 to 10. I think we've got a good prospects, I think. I think Colin, not to put any pressure on him, is one. I think that, you know, we've got some really good and exciting stories across all of the days of the games. Ellen Keane, I don't want to mention all of the athletes, but I will mention the ones that I know who are there because we've selected them. I think Ellen Keane in her last games has a really good chance. Roisin Nirin, who for a lot of people probably has just appeared, but she was at the last games. She won 5 medals at the European Championships recently. She's breaking world records, and Nicole Turner, and some exciting new athletes as well, Ridgeist and Derville, who've come through,
yeah.
And a really great story with Barry McClements, who's in our swimming program, who broke the stump of his leg just a number of months back, and has really rallied to come back, and I think that driving force might just carry him to a medal as well.
Wow.
So it's building, and every day of the games we have exciting stories.
You know, I don't want to say come back with a medal because I know you're cool, but enjoy. enjoy the experience as well. I mean, I'm sure that's maybe more important. Although I can see the hatred in his eyes.
I'm saying come back with a medal.
I'll do my very best.
Yeah. You know what? It has been my privilege to talk to you about two of the greats. Colin Judge, Paralympic table tennis player and champion, and Stephen McNamara, Chief Executive of Paralympics Ireland. The very best of luck, and thank you both.